5 minutes after the hour. Welcome, welcome. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm back thanks to Brian Howell of the Boulder Daily Camera and Buff Zone yesterday. Great guy. I had him fill in yesterday, and of course he's like, of all the days you asked me to fill in for you, it's a snowstorm and I got to come all the way up from Boulder. So we really appreciate that. Excellent interviews yesterday. Brian's the man. Hope you guys enjoyed it, but we're back in business, ready to rock and roll. Breaking news to start the show, might as well. Yeah, breaking news. Well, ESPN putting this out. Nuggets guard Jamal Murray has been fined 25,000 big ones, $25,000, for striking Dallas guard Tim Hardaway Jr. in the groin area, the groinal region. Colfax, I'm showing this to you. Can you see that? Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see that.
I think...
Stop playing. Oh,
let me press play again. I'm showing you now. That's Jamal Murray.
Okay.
Now, he's getting knocked down by Tim Hardaway. Now, this happened, what was that, Monday night? Here's my theory. I think he wanted to. I think he caught himself. Because have you ever been knocked down or have you ever been on the ground and you're wanting to get up off the ground, Colfax?
Yeah, and I got right back up again.
Have you ever been close to a human being and tried to crawl up on them to get up? Or do you just get up?
Just get up.
Yeah. So he was crawling up Tim Hardaway, and his right arm goes in between the two legs up where the sun doesn't tend to shine. So it's hard for me to go, what were you doing there? Like, what were you, I was trying to get up. How often do you climb up a person to get, I mean, these are finely tuned athletes, by the way. How often do you climb up a human body and then your hand just happens to go in the no-no zone? He was going, he was shocked and he's like, what? And they're even, I'm watching him and Will Barton watch the video. And they're both like, no! I'm like, are we seeing the same thing? Because your hand is in between the beanbaggle region. And I mean, are we watching the same video? I think he was going to, and then he's like, nope, acting like I'm getting up, and then it's all good. The referees that went through it said, this is pretty obvious to us. So they ejected him on Monday night, and now he's been fined $25,000. I don't see that he's suspended at all. I don't see anything like that. So maybe that's a really, I mean, $25,000 for Jamal Murray. He's making $30 million a year. I'm praying for him. You know, it's a downtime for everybody. But it's more about the gesture of like, okay, you have been fined. We are legitimizing what you did. We're recognizing it. You know, you definitely did that. We're not going to try to sugarcoat it. I don't know. You saw it. What do you think? Was he just trying to get up?
I need to watch it again.
Yeah. I'll show you again. When I watched it in real time, it looked like I don't know. You ever watch WWF, WCW? That was the old move. They get down on their knees. Guys coming toward them, and they act like they're down. And then suddenly a leg goes, or an arm goes in between the legs. And then the wrestler's like, And, I mean, that was the big deal. Like, you just go uppercut in between their legs. The crook of your elbow is, like, in between their legs. And, you know, your hand's crawling up their back. That's what it looked like. Then you rewatch it, and it looks like he's going for that. And then it kind of slows down. And he's like, oh, man, I'm just trying to get up. Hardaway sells it, though, beautifully. And he's like, oh! And he's like, oh, it's like a cartoon. It was a two-second cartoon. I thought I was watching an episode of the Three Stooges, man. I mean, it was nutty. He gets thrown out, and my blog was synced up perfectly with this game. I said Michael Porter Jr. needs to be the second star of this team. Jamal goes out in a really, really rough move there and almost costs the Nuggets. I mean, Dallas gets some rhythm in that game, comes back, and Porter goes off in the fourth, and he's... Listen, I don't understand him as a player. I'm just saying I like it, and I'm confused by him playing basketball. I'm confused by his, for the most part, utter confusion on defense, although he had a couple of steals and he maybe is getting better. he looks out of place sometimes, and then, bam, out of nowhere, he scores 14. And I'm like, I'm just getting up to get my beer over here, and I look down, and he's got 14 points and 11 rebounds. Oh, 30 points now. How did that happen? That's the easiest 30 point. He makes it look so easy. So that game was fun. Nuggets now win 4 in a row, sitting at 10-7. Suddenly we're feeling pretty good. We were watching the press conference the other day, or the other night, and Katie Wingy of Altitude TV noticed, or she pointed it out. She's like, that press conference didn't have one question or comment from coach, whatever, about Nikola Jokic. I mean, good and bad, right? He's your MVP. He's going to be the MVP if he keeps this pace going, but you definitely want, you know, don't lose that respect for him. But at the same time, it's like, there's a lot going on for Denver that night to get that dub. So, crazy, crazy Monday night. Had to recap a little bit of that. The Jamal Murray thing. Should he miss a game? He was ejected for almost a half. And then $25,000. I'm good with it. There could have been more, if it was more obvious, you know, like a kick and maybe you see the completion, so to speak, of that fist going up there to the no-no zone, to the nether regions, then maybe so. But he did kind of catch himself. So I'm okay with that. That's fine. And I'm not speaking as a homer. I mean, what does this do? Does this do anything to his reputation? I don't think so. I think we get over this. We're probably already over this. It's fine. I mean, so in the way it's set up, too, Hardaway's like pushing him on the ground right in front of the ref. Jamal can't get up. And he keeps like kind of kneeing him and pushing him down. And it's frustrating. Jamal was frustrated. I mean, you and I would have done that in a bar, Colfax. It's just the fact that it was on a court in front of zeros of people. Oh, wait. but I, like I said, at the moment, it sucked because it almost cost you the game. Now it's done. Pay your fine. Move on with it. Just don't hit anybody there again. Try to keep from doing that. big story of the day. A lot of Major League Baseball. Yeah! Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. So I want to get into all the baseball stuff from yesterday. Well, the baseball stuff over the past few days, too. But first off, no one elected to Baseball Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling requests removal from writer's ballot. Bradford Doolittle of ESPN writes, for the first time since 1960, the membership of the National Baseball Hall of Fame will remain frozen. I like that. Man, they're getting epic anymore when they write stuff. It's like, what, are we talking about Jurassic Park or the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? No player on the Hall's 2021 Baseball Writers Association of America ballot reached the 75% threshold needed for enshrinement. I think Schilling got 71%. So, Curt Schilling has the numbers. He's not in because you don't like some of the things he said, has said. Some of the controversial things that he posted. You know, he posted about years ago something about transgenders. He posted something about, I think he wore a shirt one time that said, trees, rope, journalist, some assembly required. I'll let you do the math on what it means. This brings up a hell of a topic today, Colfax. Like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, you talk about moral, and then you talk about cheating. Morality, cheating. Did Pete Rose cheat? I mean, he gambled, but he gambled on himself that we know of. He should be in. Should Barry Bonds be in? I don't think so. If you cheated to make yourself better, then no. If you're a bad guy, and I'm not saying Curt Schilling's a bad guy. This is what we're talking about, morality here. If you're like, you know, like Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model. So do you have to be a good guy to get in the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. Should O.J. Simpson be in the Hall of Fame? No. We're going to go draw a couple of lines here. Legality. If you do something illegal, if you get thrown in prison for a considerable amount of time, I think you got to weigh that those situations. If you get a DUI once, should that keep you out of the Hall of Fame? No. I think you should weigh the legalities of things. If you committed an illegal act, we have to weigh that. But if you said something controversial that got you fired from ESPN, which is what happened with Curt Schilling, should that keep you out of the Hall of Fame? Should, and again, some people are saying the reason he's not in today is because he said those things and you're not viewing him as a very good guy. I think that's a weird line to cross. It's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Good. It's not the Hall of, you know, you're a solid, upstanding citizen. It's the Hall of Fame in baseball. They have awards you can win for being a really good person, like Good Samaritan Awards. You can win those, man. This is baseball. This is football. And like I said, I've read Curt Schilling's comments, and I'm not really going to dive into that today. I'm just not about that. I don't know that he should have been fired for that. I don't like anybody getting fired for their opinions, but that's where we are now. Whatever. And you can get fired. That's, you're right. You have freedom of speech, and the businesses have freedom to remove you. That's all good. Get that. But, I mean, are we really going to lock a guy out because, you know, Donald Trump's not in office anymore, and basically anybody that voted for him or was considered a conservative is now a bad guy? So that's a whole different discussion right there. But let's just say Curt Schilling was a jerk. You know that song, I'm an A-hole? That song is just like how bad he is. Like, I spit in your coffee, I throw sand in your eyes. Like, I'm a bad dude. Does that mean that we're keeping you out, man? We're keeping you out of the Hall of Fame because we don't like you? I'm not sure I'm there. I don't think I'm there at all. Curt Schilling should be in. Barry Bonds, here's the other thing, though. MLB, Major League Baseball. If you're going to say Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame, then he shouldn't be on your record books. You scratch him off. And if he is on your record books, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Because if I go and visit the Hall of Fame and I go look for records, I'm going to see his name. And then I'm going to go, he's a what? How's he? He has the most home runs. He's one of the greatest of all time. And he's not in the Hall of Fame, but his records are right there. Well, he's a bad dude. He did steroids. Oh, okay. But why are you acknowledging he broke the records on those steroids? Because he broke them, but he was on roids for most of that, or some of it, depending on who you ask. Well, yeah, but we don't mess with the records. That's why we don't decrease the amount of games or increase the amount of games or increase playoffs or decrease playoffs or mess with the DH. We don't do any of that stuff because our records are sacred. Oh, okay, but so you acknowledge that he broke the record? Yes. And that's not Hall of Fame worthy? It is. But why is he not in? Because he did steroids. But didn't he use those to break the record? Yes. Ah. I'm talking to Major League Baseball. I get it. 18 minutes after the hour, we got a lot to get to today. Yeah, Major League Baseball rejects Universal DH. Your thoughts on that. And the expanded playoffs. That was pretty fun last year. But no, let's get back to you play 4 million games. In between, you play one adorable little wild card game, and then we go back into series again. I love it. It's a game of series. It's a game of series. And yet we want to go back to this one adorable little wild card game. What are you thinking? All right, tons to get to today. Mark Johnson will join us. Colorado, are we in fear that the Buffs are in that weird mid to late season lull that we saw them hit last year? We'll talk to Mark about that. Kevin Lytle joins me. We've got our game of the week ready to rock and roll tonight. Colorado State and Boise State. What a game. Pumped for that. If you want to get involved in the program, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. That's our First Advantage text line. If you're part of the crew, text 970-478-1301. 19 after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
24 minutes after the hour. You are exactly right, Dixon. If you guys knew even half the bad stuff all the hooligans have done, a few of us would not be in the Hooligan Hall of Fame. No, actually, you're not right, because I like it, man. The worse you are, the better sometimes. I mean, look at Dixon. He's got his own room in the Hall of Fame, and he's a terrible person. Ken Bone is texting, and Jamal's fine will require him to make another movie to help him pay for it. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Okay. Tanner Schwint joining me in studio.
Hello.
Yeah,
oh,
great to have
wow.
you on. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist
Studio. I don't
know
why I keep accepting your invites to come on this program.
Are you in the sinking chair?
No, it's the leaning left chair.
Okay.
There's two chairs. We KFK, you know,
we
COVID,
need new chairs.
Things are a little tight.
Oh, man. New At chair. Least the sinking chair is the worst one,
it is.
Man. I hate that one.
Yeah, that
but
one.
That's the left. Okay. The left leaning?
The left leaning.
Oh. Oh, this is not a political show.
If you
show.
Listen to NoCo now, we know that's probably not true.
Probably not. Oh, my goodness. Tanner, we got a very big night.
You have lost your mind, sir.
Oh, it's Wednesday. We always lose our mind on Wednesdays. Something really cool that we're doing, man. Obviously, Preps Radio, we've been killing it. You guys have been rocking for so many years. Tanner's side business is directing all of the madness that is Preps Radio, getting the games scheduled and ready to go. We're adding a new element starting tonight.
We are. You know, we had a couple of test runs with this one. We had some club games that we were broadcasting. You know, we didn't know what CHASA was going to do. Well, really, it was what the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment was going to do. So we were able to broadcast a couple of games that got played early, and we got a great feedback from it. So we are going to broadcast. We'll have our normal broadcast on the radio, but this year, starting tonight, we will be offering a stream as well. You'll be able to watch the game, still get Clark Johnson's broadcast, the subscription, it's a very small fee. You get access to all of the scores, or the scores that's going on. You get all of the stats that from all of the different people, as well as the broadcast from Clark. And you can find that link on 1310kfk.com. You know, we thought this year might be the perfect year to add this. Obviously, we're going to get to as many games as we can already, and if you don't want to watch it, you can listen, but with limited fans going to be allowed in, I believe right around 50 is what Weld County's sitting at right now. People are going to want to find a way to watch and listen to their kids, and we want to try and find a way to bring it to them. And Highland and Eaton tonight, I've been saying it's a small-town, big-time game.
Yeah.
That's what's been going on tonight.
Okay, so here's a quick question for you. Obviously, the impact of watching it live is pretty sweet. And again, you can listen to it on KFK, Preps Radio, like normal, 1310KFK, 1310KFK.com. But if you want to watch the action, we're providing that. Can you watch it again? If you buy this subscription or whatever, you subscribe to the game tonight, is that your game now?
I believe my tech people say yes, that is. That is what you can go back and rewatch it and relive all of the glory. And
sweet.
I think tonight could be a good one, too. Highland's going to jump up into the 3A classification. Of course, they've just been dominating the 2A class for quite some time. They were going to go on to win the state title last year before COVID shut everything down. That was the last game we broadcast, was that semifinal game. They were going to go on to win it. There was nobody in 2A that was going to touch them last year. So they jump up to 3A now, and I think that a lot of people, I was talking with Kevin Schaefer from Colorado Preps Network on NoCo Now earlier, and I think there was a lot of people who kind of forgot that Highland jumped up to 3A. They didn't garner any top 15 votes, and I don't think that's how this season's going to end. Eaton starting the preseason polls at number 9. I kind of feel an upset brewing here, Brady. I kind of like the Huskies to go into Eaton tonight and find a way to upset Dean Grable and the Reds, but I think we're in store for one hell of a game.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. And again, that link, if you want to go find a way to watch the game there and all that, if you go to 1310kfk.com, scroll down the page a little bit, whether you're on your computer or your iPhone or whatever, you'll see the big logo there.
Click
here to stream the game of the week live. You'll have Eaton's logo, the Highland Huskies logo, not the Hawaii
no,
Rainbows
not, those,
logo.
That is not
those
Hawaii.
Are two totally different things. You can click those, and that'll take you right to that stream.
Yeah, and one of the other questions that we've been getting, if you log in and buy now, you're still set for tonight. So if you get in early and do it, make sure you've got it set. You don't have to worry about having to be leaving and coming back to the site, not being able to access. It's really easy to do. Jump on there. We appreciate our streaming crew. Again, we're going to do this tonight. David Duggan, you can hear him on on the power trip. He's going to be kind of our videographer out there
nice.
Tonight. So
teamwork, right?
Teamwork.
Question here coming on the text line. Is it a one-time subscription fee for all season, or is it per game?
It is per game. And the reason that we set it up like that is because, you know, those Highland fans, they may not care when we're broadcasting Greeley Central, Greeley West, or anything like that. So it is a one-time game fee, and we go by a game-by-game basis. But that's a pretty good point. Maybe we need to just have a KFK All Access for the next 3 months.
Yeah, I think they are. It's a brand-new thing to all of us here. But, they're working on some options there with game packages and things like that, too. So it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited about this.
I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, Clark Johnson's been doing games forever for us up here. And I'll put my stamp on it. He's the best high school broadcaster in the state by a mile. And this is the year that we felt like it was appropriate to jump over to this because of the COVID-19 not being able to get as many people in there. Now, I know we're getting closer if you're following along on that COVID-19 dial dashboard, Brady. If you're following along on that, you're getting closer to level orange, a legitimate level orange, and all the confusingness that is in there. So we could have more people in the stands by the end of this deal. But for now, we're here to bring people the preps action that they want. 7 o'clock, clean start. We even interrupted part of the block party, which we love those programs, but this is such a big game tonight that 7 o'clock, tip off, Clark Johnson will be on the call.
That's why I listen to NoCo Now 9 to 11 every day to get the updates. What's going on in the world of COVID? What's going on in the world of news and everything?
It is. It's a little bit of everything from market updates to the national news for Northern Colorado. Look, I mean, Dixon will tell you, nobody cares what I have to say out there. So I bring the insiders on. I get the people who are up close and personal with this stuff and talk a lot about it. But this COVID-19 thing has been so crazy. And I know people pull their hair out trying to follow along. So I try and give the everyman's version of the news and break it down and say, here's what we're looking at. Here's where we're going. And, you know, and we go from there, and we have a lot of fun being a part of this block of programming.
Speaking of up close and personal, Jamal Murray was fined $25,000 for the low blow.
So I watched it.
I mean, this stuff writes itself now.
It's ridiculous.
Should he miss a game?
No. No, I don't even think he should have been fined, if I'm being real honest. I know it looked a little unnatural.
He got kicked out, so you had to do something, and they confirmed it.
It looked a little unnatural, but...
How many times do you crawl up a dude's middle thigh to bring yourself to your feet?
The way that they collided... I'm not trying to defend Jamal, but the way that they collided, I think it was a frustration thing a little bit. I don't think he... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wouldn't have fined him. I wouldn't have kicked him out, to be honest. I think
I was a little shocked they kicked him out because, again, it looked like he was on his way there, but then he caught himself and said, ooh, that's bad.
Well, and I think a lot of it had to do with his shoulder hurting. He was frustrated. He's getting banged around. Whenever a professional player comes out and has those bandages on, you know people are going to go for it and hit him hard there.
And Hardaway was irritated. It was hard, he just kept like knocking him over like two times in a row. Right. Jamal literally couldn't get up.
Well, and when you think that you're this superstar, you want that superstar treatment, and when you're not getting that and you're getting all this other stuff going on, I totally understand the frustration, but I wouldn't have fined him. I didn't think that was much, but I do like Ken Bone's text there. So.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
32 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson's going to join us. Are the Buffs hitting that weird end of the season, middle season kind of deal where they lose a few games here? Last year they hit that and they lost 6 in a row, got knocked out of the Pac-12 tournament because they did have their first game in the tournament. Are the Buffs in that mode right now? They did beat Washington State, so it wasn't a total loss on the road last week, but it was a battle for them. So we'll talk to Mark about that coming up. First, thanks again, Tanner. Appreciate you, my man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's going to be a lot of fun listening to that game and now the option to watch that game. We'll get the latest from the local Sports Flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 39 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And every Wednesday right around this time, we talk to the man, the myth, the legend, the outdoorsman, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I just learn stuff by just listening to you, Mark, watching what's going on in your life. I actually feel a little bit more like I could take on the world, even though I'm in the, you know, the cozy confines of my couch. So I appreciate you.
Well, I tell everybody all the time, I don't have a lot of right answers. I've just got a lot of wrong answers I can share with everybody. Because if you pick a topic, I've screwed it up in some way, shape, or form. And I've always figured that's part of the negative of being active all the time is you're going to screw up a lot. So I've done that a lot. So I can give you a lot of wrong answers.
I love it, man. Like I said, one of these days I'm going to come out there. I'm going to help you with a project. I'm not sure when. I'm not sure how. But one of these days, Mark. Okay, so last week you and I were talking about this Washington game. And I've been talking about this since you and I chatted after the loss. You said something before that game. You said, Washington's too good to have this record. I don't know what's happening. I think they have the roster. They certainly have the coaching staff. My fear is, you know, they're going to get that chemistry going, and it's going to happen against the Buffs. And it kind of looks like that's exactly what happened last week.
Yeah, you knew it was – well, you know, any time – and listen, when you're in this business as long as I've been, and you begin to evaluate teams, you evaluate rosters, you know what kind of talent they've got on the roster. And listen, we know that sometimes – even talented rosters have issues in which they lose games. I mean, look at the Buffaloes last year with that five-game losing streak at the end of the season. I mean, holy cow. You were scratching your head going, what is going on here? They were one of the better teams in America for much of the season. And so I looked at that Washington team, and I looked who they had and what kind of talent they had. I looked at their numbers and kind of looked deep into them, and their shooting numbers weren't great. And I thought, okay, now there's – at some point, knowing Mike Hopkins as long as I have, at some point they're going to start to figure it out. And now they've won two in a row. It just so happened they started figuring out against the Colorado Buffaloes. And in a night when the Buffs all of a sudden couldn't throw it in the ocean from downtown and didn't play very well defensively. So you knew it was going to happen eventually. You were just hopeful it maybe would have happened against Utah, not Colorado. But, you know, here we sit. Buffs bounce back with a nice win against Washington State. They've really got an opportunity with a five straight games at home now. To really make some noise. They're in the upper echelon of the Pac-12 and can put themselves in a position to compete for the title. So, you know, let's see what happens over the next few weeks. But, yeah, it was disappointing last Wednesday night, undoubtedly.
Mark, some fans, and I don't know if you were feeling this at this moment, you lose to Washington, but then you're struggling mightily against Washington State. As you said, they get it right in the second half, come all the way back, win that thing. Was there a moment there where, you know, you can kind of hear the fans almost outwardly saying, uh-oh, here we go again. The Buffs are maybe going to hit that strange wall that they hit last year. Like you said, they were rolling. This team was a great team. We were expecting huge things. They hit this weird wall and never really recovered. Was that going through your mind at all the last two games?
Well, I'll tell you this. When, you know, we start that ball game on Saturday, I guess it was, and McKinley Wright, you know, at the 14-minute mark goes down with the knee injury. We're not sure how serious that is. He's over there flexing it, and they're moving him, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how bad it is. Can he play? And then about 11:42, I think it was, of the first half, they're down 18, and we go to that 12-minute timeout. And I look at Scott, and I said, I don't like this at all, man. And he goes, I don't think we're going to win it. And, you know, I always got to play the other side of that, and I look at him, I said, you know, we don't need that kind of negativity around here, so stop it right now. But, you know, you do wonder. And then what happened? And Tad has told us that, you know, Evan Batty gets in the huddle and grabbed all the guys and said, look at me. You know, come and jump on my back. You guys play at the same level I'm going to play at. And he went out there, and he was phenomenal for the rest of that half. They pulled back within four. We're down seven after a three at the intermission. And then McKinley Wright has his, you know, Willis Reed moment where he comes walking back out in the court for the second half, and it's phenomenal for the second 20 minutes. And they come back and win. And so, you know, yeah, listen, I'm like anybody else. I was thinking, holy cow, this thing could get rolling downhill, and you never know what happens. But this is a very good basketball team. They've got very good players. It's not just McKinley Wright, although he's the catalyst. And I think we saw them brew that the other day. That was one of those character moments where, which way are you going to go? Are you going to sink or swim? And the Buffaloes decided they were going to swim.
Yeah, and I love that point because maybe that would have been that moment. Oh, you lose two in a row. Now do you kind of fizzle down to the middle of the Pac-12? But instead, they pull together as a team, find a way to get that W, and now another opportunity tonight, a rematch there against Washington State. I don't see the Buffs starting off that poorly in this first half. When you look at the Pac-12 standings, Mark, UCLA sit at the top. Now the Buffs are, what, two games behind them?
Yep.
But UCLA still has some pretty big games coming up down the stretch.
Hey, look at the end of the schedule. The last game of the schedule, you've got the L.A. teams coming to Boulder, Colorado. And, you know, I'm not going to put the cart ahead of the horse here, but you've got five straight at home right now. Tad Boyle does not lose often at the Event Center. I mean, his career winning percentage over the course of almost 11 years now is like 89%. So he's going to win you 9 out of 10. So let's say they run the table at home. All of a sudden, you could, you know, and I know we're speculating, but that's what we do in the media, right? We speculate. We could have a game at the end of the season that could determine the Pac-12 championship.
Wow.
And so there's an opportunity here. UCLA is very good. Make no mistake about it. They're a much better defensive program now than they were under the previous coach. And so I think they're a very good team, but so is the University of Colorado. So is Oregon. So, you know, and I just saw that Oregon actually paused their basketball operations right now. And so, you know, there's a lot going on in this league, and I think it's going to be real interesting down the stretch. But as road-heavy as the Buffs were, you know, the first third of this schedule, they are equally home-heavy now down the stretch. So it's going to be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, a lot of big games coming up. This is going to be a fun race in the Pac-12. I have to laugh at this, Mark, and you see this way more than I do, but the Tad Boyle stuff, the negative about Tad Boyle of like that he's not the right coach that can get this team over. I mean, what more? I get it. You know, winning a championship would be fantastic, but what are the odds anybody has to start the season of winning it all and going deep in March Madness? It's called madness for a reason. I just don't get it. Tad Boyle is the perfect fit for as long as he wants to stay with the Buffaloes. I don't see the Buffs ever wanting to go anywhere.
No. It is ridiculous. And, you know, being in this business as long as I have, I hear from fans all the time, and you know, I'll have people stop me and start making their argument, you know, Tad's been great and all this, and you know, but I don't know if he can take us to the next step. And, you know, you kind of get that conversation. And so I'll look at him, and I very calmly will listen and politely listen, and then I lay out the fact that, you know, this is the greatest period that Colorado basketball has ever had. And I'll go through the numbers, and I'll talk about all the 21 seasons. Would it be nice for Tad to have a team that gets beyond the second round of the NCAA tournament? Oh, you bet it would. And I tell you what, no one wants that more than he does. And that's always a big push. And so I think as you build a program, that kind of thing is going to happen. I think the team last year had a real opportunity. You know, I know the end of the season didn't end well, but I think it had an opportunity. I think this team is really talented enough to do that kind of thing. And listen, having gone through a national championship run like I did with Syracuse in 2003, you got to be really good, and you got to be really lucky. I mean, there are things that it was unbelievable when, you know, I was along for that ride to the championship, how things fell into place. How does a Hall of Fame coach like Gene Cady never make it to the Final Four despite having unbelievable talent when he was there for all those years at Purdue? And so there's plenty of people who have been very good and not make it. You know, and then the other thing, I when I finally get down to the end of kind of running through the logic of it, I look at it and I say, do you want a dirty program? Do you want a program where people are cheating? And they're like, well, no, I don't want that. Well, then what are you complaining about? Because what have we found out in recent years here in college basketball? We've heard a lot of FBI stuff. And guess what? The top programs in the country were all attached to it, directly or indirectly. That's the underbelly of college athletics that nobody really wants to hear about. They really don't want to talk about it. And you don't want it in my backyard, but I want the results that those guys are getting. And so I always tell people, you've got a guy that is clean as the wind-driven snow, loves this program, does not want to go anywhere, is one of the great human beings you're ever going to be. I know I'm preaching to the choir there in Greeley, Colorado, but this guy is as good a coach as I've ever been around, and I've worked with some Hall of Fame coaches, and he's as decent of a guy as you're ever going to meet. And so anybody who says that isn't really thinking. They are responding emotionally, and it's you know, once you kind of settle them down and go through the numbers, they always kind of go, well, I know, but yeah, I know. You won a championship, so do I, so does Tad.
Yeah, I mean, we all do. And listen, it's so hard to achieve that goal. Like I said, it's March Madness. We expect how many upsets in the first round? That's part of it. If we don't get upsets, we're upset. So that's what the point of the tournament is. So, and like you say, with all these games, you're playing so many basketball games, that tournament lends itself to upsets because if you could be playing off one night for even 1 minute might be enough to get a team over the hump. So it is a hard deal, but to get a chance at the dance is the big deal. And Tad, more often than not, or at least half the time, is getting there. Last year would have been there, but because of the situation we're in. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mark. It drives me crazy when I see that because I'm looking at all these other situations, I'm thinking, well, this guy's a top-level guy. I mean, he can go anywhere almost in the country.
Yep, phenomenal, without question. I mean, and watching what he does with what he has, think about how many guys he's put in the NBA, and it's not like you're seeing the University of Colorado attracting a bunch of those five-star guys and the one-and-dones, okay? The guys he's brought in, think of the list in recent years, all the NBA guys that Tad has put into the National Basketball Association, who were guys that came in and he developed them over the course of their 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job with that. And, yeah. You look around the Pac-12, look around college basketball, look at where the programs have been, and, I would say that Tad has done more with Colorado basketball than virtually any coach with any program in America, And it really is amazing. When you truly sit there and kind of break the numbers down and sift through them a little bit, it really is quite an interesting deal. But like I said, the emotion takes over for a lot of people, and I get it. But you've got a program you better be proud of, you should be proud of, and they win at a very high level. I tell people all the time, and I'm not sure why, I know this year's different, you can't go to the games, but on a normal set of circumstances, why aren't you going to the games? I mean, you've got a chance, 9 out of 10 games you're going to go to, you're going to see a victory. There are very few places in America where you can see that. Troy Andre has got a note in the game notes that he puts out every week about who has won the most games in the country over the last couple of years, and Colorado's like in the top 10. Wow. It's stunning. Their number, his numbers non-conference-wise in the month of November, I think are number 2 in the country behind, like, man, it might have been Duke. I can't remember if it's Duke or North Carolina. I mean, it's really stunning when you sit down and really break it down. But because there hasn't been a deep run into the tournament, he gets criticized for it.
Yeah. No, I can't believe it either. It's crazy to me. And I always say basketball's really growing in this state, and the Buffs have been leading that with Tad Boyle for the last several years. It started with the Buffs. So, Mark, appreciate you. But what time does coverage get going tonight?
6:30 tonight, 7 o'clock with the tip-off, and I don't know if you and your listeners have seen it, but they just moved the game time for Saturday's game with Utah. That was a 7:30 game, I think, and now it's a 12:30 game. But anyway, it's a 12:30 game now, so they moved to a day game. But yeah, so day game on Saturday, 7 o'clock game, 6:30 on the Colorado Basketball Network tonight.
Looking forward to it as always, Mark, my friend. Appreciate you, and we'll be listening. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, that's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, you get a little defensive because Tad Boyle, to me, he's in one of the upper echelon, and it's tough to do. Listen, college basketball, we're talking about college basketball. We're not talking about the Broncos. We're not talking about, competing in your own division of 4 teams. You're talking about a tournament of 64 teams that you're expecting to get past. It's a tough, tough task. But getting a seat at the table, to me, is that's pretty much the most important part. Winning a title, the odds are against you. I want that. Maybe the Buffs are that kind of team. But he's certainly assembling this kind of team, an exciting basketball. They're 12-4, for crying out loud. That's the expectations that Tad Boyle has created. You're 12-4. And you're talking about a guy that can get you over the hump. 53 after the hour, we'll finish up hour number one. Game of the week coming up tonight. It is Colorado State and Boise State. Huge game. We'll talk about that. Kevin Lytle joining me. What is Boise State so good at? We'll talk about that next.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, we went really, really blasted through that first hour, didn't we, Mark? Great stuff on the Colorado Buffaloes. Now, next up, we're going to get to this when we come back, Colfax. But this week's game of the week is tonight, Boise State and the Colorado State Rams. I think Boise State is a 3-point favorite at this point. I think that's really good for the Rams. Nationally, you're starting to, okay, this Rams team might pull off the upset. Who you got? That's the Power to Play Sports poll question. Boise State or CSU State? Colorado State's getting 51% of the votes. We'll talk more about it next.